is the McDonald's Mikey Bell Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Realm Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the worldwide web.
From a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
And welcome to another edition of the Viking Round Ball Podcast. It's presented by McDonald's. McDonald's, a MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, I'm loving it. I'm loving this postseason run, Coach. What in the heck got into you guys?
I don't know. We've been fortunate to play with some confidence and get it going at the right time. I guess that old cliche, survive in advance, we've taken that literally, because every game's been a tight game. But a lot of credit to our kids. They figure out a way.
The podcast presented by McDonald's. McDonald's and MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Taping this little ditty, episode number 62, if you're keeping track, on Monday afternoon, February the 29th. Got a very, very big podcast, one that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
We have guests. We're splitting this thing up because you have responsibilities.
Yes.
We're doing the coach, going to interview him, his greatness, and comes we trust. We're going to interview you and talk about this wonderful win versus your alma mater, Unioto, this past Friday night, and then preview the Fairfield Union game coming up, the district final game. Got to get that in there. This is what, your third district final?
This will be the fourth one we've played in, actually. Yeah, we were fortunate enough in 2004, back with Ryan Kent.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Finals, and then won it in 2008 and then got beat there in 2013 against Warren. So, it's exciting. The kids are excited, obviously. They should be. And it's been a lot of fun for the coaches, too. It's always fun to make a run, but it's I think, a little extra when you have a team that you really enjoy being around. And this is just such a good group of kids, and just fun to see every day at practice. They have great attitudes and they come ready. So, and of course, our coaching staff, I'm fortunate to have a group that we all get along very well. And so, yeah, it's whenever you play basketball into March, you have to be happy about that.
Yes, yes, you do. And speaking of those players, three of them, we hope three. Would you say they're all definitely three?
Yeah, I think we'll have two or three guys out here, probably three guys, today. I know Sean's going to come out, Sean Cottle. He had a big role the other night.
Very big
in our game. And hopefully we'll get guys like Nalen Yates, Derek Jones, maybe even a couple others. But I know we've already talked to the seniors besides Sean. We didn't get a chance.
Right.
It works out.
Yeah. He wasn't practicing then, so he hadn't been at practice. Therefore, he didn't make it out here.
Right. So it'll be nice to you get to talk to him, which will make all five of our seniors got a chance to be on the show. And then hopefully a couple other guys. And then, of course, I know you're going to lower your standards and bring in Jay Kite and Chad Carpenter in. But what are you going to do? You said I had responsibilities. They have no responsibilities whatsoever, so they're able to come out.
No, wait. Carp, you got two boys, Brevin and the Tornado, and he's got three girls, so you can't can't take shots at that.
Yeah, I have no comeback to that.
No, MJ, that's a different story.
Yes.
He has. But I think back in the middle of the season, Coach Kite came to me and said, "Hey, when are you going to have me and Carp out?" I was like, "Well, I don't know." I said, I don't have that authority. That's with the coach. And he said, "Well, we really want to be on there. We want to do this."
Oh yeah, I mean they're licking their chops. I'm sure an opportunity to roast.
Two things for you to keep in mind, Matt, is one, you're going to have to listen to the podcast this week.
Yeah,
and two, you're going to get grilled.
Oh, I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was no. I would expect nothing less.
Right, and honestly, this deep in the season, I don't think it's. I think it might actually be safe to say that not only are you going to get grilled by your two of your assistants, but also with having the players in, I'm thinking that might be fair game to, you know, what are you going to do? Kick them off the team now?
Yeah,
I mean, for district.
It probably is. No, we have a lot of fun at practice. I mean, we players and coaches, we like to get at each other a little bit. So that's what keeps it loose, keeps it fun.
No, seriously, we'll get into the game here in a second. But, you know, like you said, this is a group of kids. I know that this is a year, and any coach you talk to is going to say, yeah, there's some years I'm worried about kids passing drug tests. There's some years worried about kids getting the grades.
Right.
Sometimes I got prima donnas. Some, you know, I got hotheads. Being very transparent, this group of kids, you don't have any of that. I mean, knock on wood, not only are they good players, they're coachable and they're fun kids to be around.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how unique it is. I mean, very seldom do you have that. And I've coached a lot of good kids here at Vinton County. I don't want anyone to take that the wrong way. But
no.
When you have just an entire group of those types of kids all at once, it's just a very unique situation and makes it a lot of fun. And obviously, they're easy to root for. And I think you see that in our community with the amount of people we had come out. I mean, our fan base the other night at the Convo was just phenomenal. I mean, it just basically engulfed the place. I think we've just today sold 300 and some tickets already, and it's the first day we've sold them. So tickets are flying out the window for this next one, and it makes us proud that our community really comes down there and supports us like that.
Okay, before I get into the game, one other thing while we're right at the front of the podcast, presale tickets for Friday night, 7 o'clock tip over the Convocation Center for the D2 Southeast Championship game. On sale at the high school, $6 a piece.
Right.
Part of that money, if you buy them at the high school, goes back to
25% of it does.
25% of it. So that being said, plus you don't have to stand in line to cover a ticket, and that is a big deal. And you don't think, I know Friday afternoon last week, you actually ran out of tickets. Is that right?
We did. We sold 1,000 tickets last time, and that's all we had. And with it being on Friday, we didn't have a chance to go back and get more. You know, so we are we're shooting for 1,500 this time. We have 1,500 presale available. Like I said, we're already 20% of the way through that. So so people are going to have to get out and get them. I wouldn't wait around to the end of the week just in case. But I would expect
you have 1,500 in hand, or you did.
Yes, yeah.
You don't have any assurances that you might be able to get another.
No, especially timing wise. You know, I mean, because if you get too close to the time,
they'll cut it.
Yeah,
back.
I mean, it's by the time you run over there and get them, try to bring them back, it makes it tough. So, I would just encourage people to get out there in the next day or two and make sure you get your hands on some tickets. Like you said, it just saves you some hassle having to stand in line, and plus the school gets a little bit of money for them.
Okay, well, with that, let's get into it. Last Friday night at the Convocation Center, your alma mater, a game that I know last Tuesday, or even backing up to the weekend preceding this, you were already starting, the nerves were starting to go. The celebration versus Warren Local was kind of short-lived.
Right.
And then you throw into it that it's not only your alma mater and it's the school district that you live in, but it's also coaching against one of your, I'd say childhood friends in Matt Hoops. And there was a lot made of that, and we made a lot of it, and there was as the week progressed. But let's get down to the game. First 4 or 5 minutes of the first quarter was just ugly. I mean, both ways. Yeah. I think they had several turnovers. You had some steals. They had several turnovers, and you guys couldn't have thrown something into the ocean out of a boat. I mean, you missed bunny after bunny after bunny.
Yeah. I don't know. I think a lot goes into it, honestly. It's two good defensive teams. You know, both teams are good defensively. And I think I was really pleased with our defense early, obviously, to be able to hold them in check. But offensively, I think, you know, you probably have a little bit of nerves being out there the first time, a little different environment than what you're used to playing in, obviously, and just your normal high school gym. But we had some decent looks, that a couple that were in and out. You're right, we didn't shoot the ball well. You got to give a lot of credit to Uniota's defense. I think they're hard to simulate in practice. You know, we can't really simulate, 6'5" athletes, long, lanky, you know. So you're out there trying to fill it out a little bit and figure out, okay, where can we get our openings? And I don't know whether that made us just get on our heels a little bit, maybe be a little bit tentative. We didn't attack the basket, obviously, the same way we were able to do in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
It was tough. It was tough sledding. Scoring was for both teams, other than for Uniota there in that second quarter, where they had a pretty good quarter. I think scored maybe 20 on us in that second quarter, and we gave up a couple threes, and that aided that. But But yeah, you're right. I mean, we it wasn't the start offensively we were looking for. We were really happy with the way we were guarding them, but again, we just struggled offensively early.
Yeah, and to that point, offensively, as you know, 8-6 after the first quarter, you go into halftime with a 28-18 deficit, and really, had it not been for one sophomore, Nalen Yates, gosh knows, you guys could have not been down 10. You could have been down 20 or more.
Yeah,
he has a huge first half performance, and really is. For all intents and purposes, he's your only offensive spark offensively. But I know something happened at halftime, and you know, I'll just, without glossier-ing it, what was the halftime speech like? Probably not a lot of yelling and screaming. I'm just
no. I mean, it really wasn't. I think you learn your team as you go, and this team, I think, reacts better to just being talked to rather than yelled at. And you know, every team's different, but. I was pretty frustrated at halftime just with a couple breakdowns late in the second quarter that I thought even as bad as we played offensively, we could have got in there down 5 or 6, not 10.
Yeah, you could tell you were trying to go in with making a little bit of inroads,
yeah.
And it just didn't happen. It just, when you would have a stop one of their possessions, you guys would turn it over and they'd score 3, and you were just, nothing worked right out late there.
And we just talked, we really just talked about, you know, regardless of what the end result is in this game, don't go out, you know, doing something you never do. I mean, we just weren't playing like ourselves. We weren't attacking the basket. We weren't playing real aggressive offensively. And like I told them, you know, I can live with losing a basketball game. That's not the end of the world. But not if we go out there and just, you know, lay an egg and don't even try to do what we do. You know, at least go out and be aggressive and play. And if it's not good enough, it's not good enough. I mean, there's a whole lot of teams that it hadn't been good enough versus Uniota over the last 2.5 years. There's nothing to be embarrassed about there.
All but 2 or 3 teams in 2.5 years.
Right. So, I mean, but go out and let it hang out a little bit, play. And that was really sort of the talk. And you mentioned Nalen. Nalen's come on so strong for us in the last few weeks. And obviously, you know, like you said, he kind of carried us in that first half. And I thought in the second half, Tristan and Derek and Jordan, they all got a little more aggressive. Mm-hmm. And really, that was ultimately probably the deciding factor, because when you look back at that game, if you just look at shooting percentages, things like that, you're like, man, you know, I think Uniota shot 50%. We shot 30 or something.
Right.
But the difference was we got to the free throw line, and we made 20 free throws.
Right.
And we don't do that if you don't get aggressive and start attacking the basket.
And you force them to
make turnovers. And we had 17 turnovers. They had 17 turnovers. We only had 7. I'll tell you got to give a lot of credit to our guards. 7 turnovers against Uniota is a very low amount in a tournament basketball game, which is physical, which is fast, which everybody's a little bit on edge. And only turn the ball over 7 times. That's a credit to those kids that are handling the ball out there. And then being able to get to the free throw line. Really, turnovers, free throws were probably the difference. It's probably what got us over the edge.
Yeah, those are the two key stats that, you know, jumped out to me. As far as shooting percentages, you guys shot 25% or 26% from the field, 13 of 51. Uniota was shot 500, 19 of 38. They were 3 of 11 from beyond the arc. You were 4 of 17. So really no big, you know, standout differences on the shooting. There are the free throws. You were 20 of 27. They only made it to the charity stripe 13 times and only nailed 6 of those.
Right.
So, you know, right there is a 14-point disparity just in free throws made. And then you like you said, you put the turnovers into that. One other big, you know, as you guys started to slowly, and what was the biggest deficit? What was it, like 14 points?
I think 14. We were down 14 early.
Because they started out in third quarter pretty well.
They scored first 2 baskets.
Yeah. And I'm sure you're over there crapping your pants, but it just seemed like it wasn't a blockbuster 14-0 run for you guys. It was a slow chip your way away,
right.
And you got it to 12, you got it to 9, you got it to 7, you got it. And at the same time, I told my wife and some of the people we were sitting with, it seemed like, and I don't know the exact time, but you guys got in the bonus. You got in the bonus real early, what I felt to be very early in the third quarter,
right.
About midway through the third quarter. And, you know, they had 17 fouls, and I think you guys only had like 3 or 4.
Right.
So you had fouls to give, and you were going to the line, I think, a lot of that just because Tristan and Derek and the guard and Jordan were being more aggressive and going to the rack.
Right.
That's kind of where the tide started to turn, and you converted. But one other thing that happened, and anyone that was there would agree with us, the quote-unquote injured one, Sean Cottle,
yeah,
gives Chase some minutes when Chase really wasn't in foul trouble, but you knew you needed to get him his rest.
Right.
He comes in the third quarter, and boy, does he, not so much on the scoring end, but just the physicality of Sean, really helped you guys a lot.
Well, there's no question. And we were having a, when they went on that little early third quarter run, I think two of their baskets were on offensive rebounds. So, you know, mm-hmm. Sean comes in there, he sort of nicks that a little bit, and we started to hold our own on the boards. And then and then what it allowed us to do too later, which is something we haven't been able to do now in the past four or five games, was play two posts at the same time. You know, ever since Bo and Sean have been out, we haven't been able to really do that. So we were able to play Sean and Chase together a little bit, which gave us a little more inside strength defensively. And then
you kind of started ham and egging it. What I mean by that would be you were playing certain personnel for offensive series, certain right. personnel, you know, as far as getting Caleb Montgomery, Tyler Barnett, you know, where you were shifting those guys in on defensive right. type possessions, whereas you were bringing, you know, Jordan, and then, you know, Jordan goes out with 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and that was huge.
That was unexpected, and I, you know, we thought, well, you know, we can get him in there, and, you know, with his experience, he'll be able to avoid one. He just kind of got stuck in a bad spot and was fighting for a ball. And not having him in there when we were trying to run clock late in the game was tough. But the free throw shooting again, you mentioned Sean makes two big free throws. Mm-hmm. Tyler makes one. Some guys that maybe aren't always at the line, I mean, you sort of expect Tristan
Chase
and Derek.
Made some free throws too.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, when guys like that are making free throws, that's a big plus. But it was just, like you said, it was chipping away at it. I think we ended up going on a 7-0 run in the third quarter, but it wasn't like in 1 minute. You know, it just sort of right. happened over the course of 2 or 3 minutes. And I think we were able to score first in the fourth quarter to cut that lead to 3. And once we got that to even, you could see a different confidence in our kids' face. And I think they really started to believe we could do it. And fortunately, we were able to hold on.
Yeah, you outscored them 17-9 in the fourth quarter. You outscored them 15-10 in the third quarter, which is a little deceptive because, like you said, most of their points in the third quarter came within
right,
the first 2 minutes.
Right
and a half
out of the
minute.
Gate.
Yeah.
Right, right.
So, anyhow, that was probably, I texted you late Friday night because I knew you would be bombarded with people and phone calls and stuff like that. And then you and I kind of had a nice long conversation Saturday morning. As rumor has it, you were walking around the house in a mink bathrobe, smoking a pipe and telling your wife to run your bath and fix your breakfast.
Or I was just sitting there in a pair of shorts and a t-shirt trying to keep the dog from jumping on my kids.
You were cooking breakfast.
I told the boys I'd make breakfast. Amy slept in a little bit. I got up because the day after something like that, you jump out of bed like somebody shot you out of bed. You know, you have all this adrenaline.
Did you even sleep?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, yeah, but it was, you know, you're just feeling good. And so Brevin had a basketball game that day. So I said, get up, I'll make you some breakfast. So we made some breakfast, and then I went and coached 8-year-old basketball.
That's another interview for another time.
Yes.
But I didn't. It was you could tell you were on cloud nine until Brogy left the door open and Skylar was outside or something like that. I heard one.
Oh,
close the door.
Yeah, he's. I'm telling you, we don't need to get into that.
No. Anyhow, that I remember you and I talking, and I said, yeah, that's going to be a top five. That had to be as far as. Yeah, and again, it was bittersweet. I know that as of Saturday morning, you hadn't talked to Coach Hoops. You'd talked right. to his wife and his kids, which were visibly upset after the game. But as nice as it was to win, and I'm sure you're not going to make any apologies, nor would Matt Hoops
right.
want you to apologize. But there is a little something in, you know, winning a game like that against your alma mater and a good friend and
right.
a program that you respect tremendously.
Well, yeah, you know, you obviously, when you know somebody that you're going against and you're friends with somebody, you hate it for them and you hate it for, you know, their kids. You got kids like Cole Cottrell, had a tough thing happen to him this year, broke
sure.
both wrists,
yeah.
and here he gets a chance to come back and, it, you know, isn't able to go on. But it's like I said Friday night, I mean, you know, I wouldn't trade the joy that I saw in my kids' faces for anything, you know what
no.
I mean? Because we went in that locker room, our kids were obviously very proud, very happy, and you know, those are the kids I've been going to battle with now for 75 practices and 20-some games. And so to see their enjoyment made it worthwhile, and it was something that was a lot of fun.
Well, I'm sure it was a great weekend of good thoughts and feeling happy and all that jazz. And it's at that 2:38 in the afternoon on a Monday. We're sitting here taping this, and within the hour, you're going to be back, changed into your coaching garb and out on the floor and getting it after again. As you got a very tough Fairfield Union team coming up for the district title this Friday night. I know both of us stuck around and watched the game, but I'm sure you were so distracted it wasn't one of your best scouting jobs. But I know in the meantime, you've gotten film of Fairfield Union. This is a team that's got some post presence. They got some guards that can just shoot the eyes out of the ball. But I still think that this is a good matchup for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, they're a good team. They're the number one seed in our sectional. They play in a very good league, obviously, in the Mid-State League. So their competition night in, night out is very good.
Right.
They're very well coached. They have a post player that's a nice player. He's a sophomore. He's probably 6'5", you know, 6'4", 6'5". Very skilled. Can score with both hands. Can step out and shoot the ball. So he's a load, and then they've got guards that can really shoot it. I think their 3-point shooting is something that has to concern you, because they've got several guys can make the three, and when you have those guys around a post player that draws attention,
the kickouts there's a threat there at any
right.
time.
They remind me a lot of our 08 team where we had Dustin, and had shooters around
right.
him, and. Those teams can be hard to guard sometimes, so we're going to have to really work hard and understand what the game plan is, and really we're going to have to answer the bell physically again. They're a good sized team. I mean, they're really, outside of the one kid, they're not super tall, but all their kids are 6 foot and you know pretty well put together and strong, and there's no weak links really. You know, they're just very fundamentally sound. So it's going to be a tough battle, as you would expect at this level of the tournament, But, you know, I think it's a matchup that probably both teams feel like they can do something with. And, you know, so it'll be interesting just to see which team plays better. And hopefully that'll be us. But, you know, we're still kind of in the preliminary in terms of scouting here and watching film. So I don't have, like, tons of detail. But I know for us, you know, the key is going to be a lot of the same keys that was against Uniota. Mm-hmm. You know, you better rebound the ball. You better be able to guard the post. And understand they have guys that can knock the three down, and so I guess for us the good thing is the game plan doesn't change a whole lot from this past Friday to
right.
this Friday.
It's not
very
a complete
similar.
180 coaching type of thing. It's
right.
kind of what we did last week. We got to do the same thing again to put yourself in a position to have a chance of winning.
Right. And so yeah, I mean that's that, because sometimes you get into tournament play and you have 2 or 3 days to get ready, and it's a totally different team. And you know, this Uniota team and this Fairfield team, they're similar in a lot of ways. So
does Fairfield Union like to press much?
You know, I mean, they'll mix it in. It's not something they hang their hat on every trip.
Predominantly a man-to-man.
Yeah, I mean, they're just a good, solid, hardworking team that'll guard you and make it hard to score. And they do things the right way, and they don't usually beat themselves. And so it's going to be a challenge for us. But again, it's. Once you get to this level, you know it's going to be.
Yeah, I think they're coming into this game with an 18-2 record. They did not win the MSL. Did Bloom Carroll won that league, didn't they?
I'm not sure. Actually, after the draw, I know Fairfield Union lost to Bloom Carroll.
Right.
And I don't know if that decided the league. And then Fairfield might have lost to St. Charles, who's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
I saw them play early in the year. So, you know, there was a couple there after the draw they might have lost. But then they bounced back in the tournament, and after knocking off Marietta, they were able to beat Mags, who a lot of our listeners are
right.
familiar with, and then obviously Miami Trace the other night. And that was a game a little bit like our game, in that Miami Trace probably controlled most of that.
Miami Trace had like a 6 or 7 point
yeah.
lead at half.
And then much like kind of in our game where we made that run late, Fairfield Union came on late and was able to win it in the end. So,
well, it'll be a fun experience, and you know, as I think some people are getting ahead of themselves, that the winner, as it looks by chalk right now, the winner of your game Friday night with Fairfield Union is probably going to run up against the number one ranked D2 school in Ohio, which is John Glenn, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if they're number one or not, but they are there for real good. But right at this, I know you said Saturday. I don't care. I would gladly take a victory Friday night, knowing that I'm going to go. At this point in time, everything is gravy from here on.
I think you, in tournament, you just literally worry about the next one because you don't know. I mean, you don't know who's going to get beat. You don't know who you're going to match up with because of that. And to be honest with you, just so many things can happen. I over the years, I've seen so many different things happen. And so you really just worry about the very next one. And the way we look at it is when we started this last Monday, we drew a bracket on the board, four teams. You know, this is a four-team tournament, us and Uniota, Miami Trace and Fairfield Union, and we're trying to win a four-team tournament. So to us, this is the only game that matters. That's still on our board, and we're fortunate enough to be in the championship game. And if we advance, we'll draw another four-team bracket up there. But we're going to take this one by itself right now.
Well, you won the first tournament at Logan, and you're looking to win the second tournament at the Convo. And if that happens, we'll
look at the next one.
Deal with that next time. Well, appreciate your time. I know you're busy with all the media demands and, you know, pedicures, manicures, photo shoots.
Well, I'm sure
T-shirt designs.
I'm sure you know, the next segment, everybody will be speaking very kindly of me, so I feel very comfortable laying down the mic.
Okay. Well, you think whatever you want. And we're going to take a break, and then the kids will come in. We'll do their segment later this afternoon along with your assistant coaches, and oh, what fun it shall be.
I hear you.
All right. Take care, man.
See you.
Back on the Viking Ground Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's at MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. The coach has exited the premises, so now we can really have fun. Really happy to welcome in three very, very pivotal Viking players from the district semifinal win the other night. Derek Jones, Nayland Yates, and senior Sean Cottle all joining us on the big show. Guys, how you doing?
Doing well.
Pretty doing good. Well. Hang on a second. I had to move that computer to monitor.
Okay.
Couldn't see it. Everything cool? You guys just came from practice.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's good.
Okay. First question to you, big fella. Sean Cottle, I got to hear the story because I think myself and most of Viking Nation had written you off for the year. When you went down, what was it, the Wellston game?
Nelsonville game. Yeah, and then I was out for about five or six games, I think.
So, I mean, give me the story. I heard a partially torn meniscus. What is your diagnosis?
It was actually, I completely tore my meniscus.
Nice.
And I have arthritis in my knee, and I just, previous damage I had from football season when I heard it, and then, so I mean, I could have told you I wasn't going to play again too. So
what changed?
Well, watching the Warren game and it come down to the last 2 seconds and we score and win, and not being out there and being in street clothes kind of killed me a little bit.
Right.
And then watching how physical the refs were letting them play. I wouldn't say I'm a great basketball player, but I could sure be physical with people.
Right.
So I knew they were going to let us get away with a lot more come tournament time, so I figured I'd be helpful.
And obviously your cousin, your teammate and first cousin, Bo McIntyre, with him going down and him his MRA coming back with a blown ACL, and he's, I guess, scheduled for surgery later in the month. With the fact that, you know, Chase is kind of out there as a post player by himself, and knowing that with Uniota's size, did you just decide I'm going to play with some pain? And
For the seniors like Chase and Jordan and Tyler and Austin, I mean, last time we're gonna get a run at this. I mean, my best friends. I mean, I feel like I can endure some stuff for them and for all of my teammates to get a run in the convo like this.
So I know that Coach Combs basically said when you came to him like last Monday or Tuesday and said I want to try to go, right? He had told me, he said, well, that's a decision. I got to have mom and dad's blessing. I got to have the trainer's blessing. Did you have to beg your mom?
I begged my mom and dad, and my dad okayed it, and my mom did not.
Okay.
So I kept just hounding her about letting me play, and she finally agreed to let me play. Well, then the Friday, right before the game, she showed up at the school and talked to Combs, and I think gave him the business pretty much about letting me play.
What was the trainer's, what was their advice?
She said, because I had been medically cleared, mm-hmm. but the doctor pretty much only medically cleared me for senior night to just go out in the court and maybe run around.
Yeah, you dressed, you did, they started you. And then
he said people have played with a torn meniscus, and he sent her a letter and said I was okay to play, just make sure I work through, get my muscles going back in my leg so I wasn't.
And I know as you're standing here, you just got out of practice. You said when we were coming into the studio, you have an ice bag on your knee right now.
Yeah, it's still pretty tight from Friday.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being you're crippled, 2 you're, or 10 you're perfect, where are you at?
I'd say about 7. In my head, I feel like I'm a 7.
Okay, that was my follow-up question. Physically, you're a 7.
Yeah.
Where's your heart?
That would be about 10.
I was thinking more like a 20, but anyhow. So, I mean, you think that if you nurse this thing this week, take it easy, ice it a lot, do that sort of thing, you'll be ready to go again Friday night.
Yeah. Even if it's a little, if it's feeling the way it is right now where it's a 7, I'm going to tell everybody it's a 10. We're just going to run with it.
You've been doing this athletic thing a while. I mean, obviously, you've played a lot of sports and things like that, but you weren't here the day that we did the senior gig when all you guys were out here, and the seniors as far as Austin, Chase, Tyler, who am I missing?
Jordan,
because he's so quiet. He's easy to miss. You couldn't make, because that was right after the injury. A little bit about what do you got planned after the season?
I don't know necessarily.
Or not after the season, after graduation.
Yeah, after graduation. I don't know. I'm still looking around. I don't know where I'm going to go to school yet. They told me that I don't need to have surgery anytime super soon, but mm-hmm. they're hoping it's later down the line with my meniscus, but I will eventually have to.
Whether that's in April or whether that's in July. Or rather,
it's 40 years from now.
Okay.
That's what he's hoping. He said you can pretty much live a normal life as long as you're not doing stuff too physically.
Right. So you're going to try to go, probably limited minutes, but the lift that you gave, and I'm guessing Derek was going to agree with me, probably when you look at – have you guys looked at tape of Friday night yet?
Yeah, we have.
You have?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was that what you guys did at practice today, or did you guys just get on huddle?
We watched I looked at it myself on huddle. Today we actually watched Fairfield Union's film.
But, I mean, you know, I think you would agree, Derek. You know, these two guys, Nalen and Sean both, especially Nalen, I mean, had it not been for Nalen scoring in the first half, you know, the offensive production, you really came through in the first half.
I don't think we would have scored in the first half.
Maybe a couple free throws or something like that. To the game, you know, Friday night, first of all, you've never played in the combo, have you, Derek?
No, I haven't.
No, I think the last was L.B. Ramey's class.
My freshman year.
Yeah, 13, 12, 13, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you were still in middle school?
Yeah, eighth grade.
Each one of you, what's it like for our listeners when you walked out there and, you know, you're looking up? I know you've all been there to watch games, but it's a little different when you go down the tunnel and you're down the bottom bowl, so to speak. Were you scared? Was it like, wow, this is cool? What was the whole atmosphere like for you guys pregame?
I thought it was really cool. I mean, don't matter what team was cheering for who, I mean, you walk out there and see attendance of 6,250, I think.
What did you think, Nalen?
I just try to block it out and just play it as a normal game. But really, you had to realize you're playing at the Convo, and it was a big game.
Okay, for you and Derek, I mean, both of you guys, you know, are like to shoot the three ball and are pretty good at it. Derek, is the with the backdrop being different, is it a different concept in shooting, or is it something that took a little getting used to?
I mean, it is, but it's, I mean, something we can get used to. But I think the one thing that really messed me up was the black line.
The three-point line. Yeah, because you had a college line behind you, and then the white line is the high school line, right?
Yeah, we're kind of used to shooting on a black line, so we're like 6 inches back behind the black line instead of up on the white line.
So shots that you thought, you know, when you're and I know you guys all look at you and you'll, when you do your sets to look at your feet, you're looking down and you're basically probably shooting from deeper than what you really need to be.
Yeah.
Same for you, Nalen?
Yeah, same. It was just, but you just had to adapt and play, but it was just hard. It's hard seeing that black line, your peripheral all season, and then having to move to the white line. That was the hardest part.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. What was your take? I mean, first, when you look at the tape, I was at the game, but I'm going to go back and look at the tape tonight. you guys really came out and forced Unioto into a lot of turnovers and some steals. And I thought defensively, you guys were just sharp as a tack.
Oh yeah, we came out ready to play.
But
on defense, on defense,
you know, that first 5-6 minutes, you guys couldn't hit water if you fell into the ocean. I mean, you were. Yeah, I mean, Chase had some bunnies, Tristan, you know, shots that normally you guys just routinely make, it wouldn't happen. And do you attribute that as a team to maybe jitters or nerves? Or I mean,
it could have been that, and it could have been, like we said, the depth of perception, just getting used to it as the game went on. But I don't know. Sometimes we just come out on defensively stronger than we are on offense, and I think we overcame a little bit, but it might have, I don't know.
How much, you know, and kind of going back on the whole season, you guys get to see. Well, Logan was a last second buzzer beater. You know that was.
Yeah, you won the whole game.
Yeah, and that sucks, and that's just life. But then the Athens game, which was just a train wreck.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And then Miami Trace, which was athletic as all get out. Two losses back to back. Preceding that, you had one loss. I know it gets in your head. I'm an adult. It gets in my head when you see Benton County State ranked. How did you guys feel after those two losses? Because I know one Matt Combs that sets where you're setting, Derry, came in here, and I couldn't look at him because he had his head up his butt. And that's the way he gets when he loses. I mean, you guys, I'm preaching to the choir. You know how intensely, as a team, how did you guys deal with back-to-back losses all of a sudden? I don't say your season's upside down, but was that kind of a gut check for you guys as a team, Derry?
I mean, I think we handled it the best way possible. We went in, sat down. Holmes talked us through stuff, and I mean, we just kept working and grinding out wins and stuff.
Okay. What do you guys, what's obviously right now going into a district championship? You stop and think about it. I think 85-90% of the teams in the state are, they're done. It's over. You know, basketball is yesterday's news. Does the crowd, what is that? All of this stuff that's going on, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's driving down the street and seeing all the stuff in the windows, all the T-shirts, the pep rallies, all that stuff, I know it's fun. Is it a distraction at all, or is it just something that you guys look at and say, just enjoy it? Sean?
Combs actually told us today to not let this stuff be a distraction. Enjoy it. Enjoy what we can of it, but not to a point where it gets to causes distraction.
Right.
He asked us, because the school wants to hold a pep rally for us Friday.
Mm-hmm.
He was asking us to talk it over as a team if we even want to have a pep rally, because he doesn't want it to cause a big distraction to us.
I know you guys get used to a routine, and it's funny that, you know, there's a lot of crap. There's a lot of stuff that goes on that the typical fan doesn't see. And I'm talking now, and moms and dads and stuff like you, they know what's going on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you think back, guys, it wasn't long ago. It was the 1st of July, and you guys are doing shootouts in the gym or scrimmages, and there ain't a swing.
No,
other than a couple moms and dads, and that's maybe a girlfriend here and there. So this is not a process. This has been going on a long time, and now all of a sudden you're getting kind of the climax of it when the high school's selling over 1,000 tickets. You know the place is going to be packed. You know whoever loses is going home. But, I mean, is it to you, it's just still a game? It's the fact that you guys are still playing that makes it fun?
Yeah, you just got to embrace it, and being confident in yourself and the kind of work we've put in to play this game.
Right. Do you guys think, each and every one of you, and I know, Sean, and for people who don't realize, this is a story I heard once. Tell me if I'm hearing the truth or not. When you were a little guy, and obviously your older sister, Lakin, was a phenomenal standout player, ended up going down to Oak Hill, went to state championship, had a great, great career as a basketball player. I had heard that you hated basketball, or not hated, didn't
want to... despised it.
Okay, you despised it, and
yes.
You wrestled through what grade?
I think it was sixth grade.
Okay, so you have only been playing... seventh grade was really your first...
Jordan Albright talked me into playing basketball my seventh grade year.
Okay.
During recess. Yes.
It's the way business gets done.
Yes.
In seventh grade. So you played your seventh, eighth grade year, then you played ninth.
I played freshman, and then I didn't play sophomore or junior year.
That's when you tore out your ACL, right?
My sophomore year in football.
Okay. So you were obviously out sophomore year, and then last year you weren't.
I didn't feel like I was in physical shape good enough to contribute to the basketball team, so I didn't. I don't want to be out there like huffing and puffing the whole time I was running down the court.
Right. It's a little bit of it's a different dynamic than playing D tack or something, you know, a football shape, basketball shape, two different things. Obviously you haven't played the sport a lot. Do you think just this year you've grown that much, or what's been the one thing that's you look back on and say, man, this has been well worth it outside of the wins and losses?
I mean, I enjoyed, like, we went to Michigan over the summer, and I mean, I don't think I'm going to head up to Michigan anytime here in the near future, and I got to hang out with a bunch of buddies up in Michigan, going swimming, eating out, playing basketball together.
That's another story that most people don't know about is what you rented one of those big vans.
Yeah.
Combs packed you, and how many guys went?
Well,
we couldn't take Bryce because we didn't have enough room in the van.
You needed another van.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing pictures, and I know that in addition to, you know, the clinics and the tournament, little tournaments they have there in day camps and stuff like that, I'm sure you guys had a lot of fun, a lot of joking around. I heard Combs actually pulled your van into the head Michigan coach, John Beilein's parking spot or something like that.
Yeah.
So
we also went on a detour and went on two road closed signs and moved them and then drove the van through them because of flooding. We couldn't go through because of flooding, and we moved the road closed signs.
So in your mind, outside of the wins and losses, just the fact that you enjoyed the camaraderie and stuff like that with the rest of the guys.
It's just fun to hang out with your friends, right? Nothing like it.
Nayland, I know you're the, don't take this the wrong way, you're the baby of the bunch, so to speak. You're only a sophomore, kind of older for a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
Your offensive production has picked up a lot. Well, I'd say not just your offensive, but I think defensively, would you agree that you've gotten a lot more confident on offense?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And on defense, don't take this the wrong way, but there's a big difference, I think you'd be the first to agree with me, between freshman JV speed of the game versus varsity. And I know early in the season, you're as athletic as hell, but I mean, from a standpoint of, there were some times early in the year that defensively I would look at you and say, he's a little lost. He's not. Now, no, do you feel right now?
I agree with you, yeah. Really? I picked up my defense a lot throughout the year, and it's just all – it's Combs' practice and just building on every day, just building every day and getting better. So,
okay. Derek, it seems like just yesterday I was – my little girl was probably second, third grade bitty ball, and you were a little runt rat, middle school sixth grade kid out there dribbling, and now you're kind of in the big time and you're right in the center of the focus. How is this year? And I know I don't think you're gonna be mad at me for talking about this because you've done a hell of a job at it. Last year at the end of the season, I had a conversation with Matt, and we're talking about all these off-season things, and you guys know as well as I do, when the season's over, everyone gets talked to. Here's where I see your role, this is what you need to work on, blah blah blah. And he had made a comment to me. He said, man, Derek is so talented. He's got such great touch, good hands, all that, but he needs to get stronger. And I know you really worked hard in the offseason. Have you seen that really pay dividends and how your strength this year has really made you a lot better a player?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I heard something that I was almost leading rebounder or something like that.
I think if you're not, you're close.
Yeah, I mean, picking that up. And, I mean, now I can kind of move people more than I used to be.
Yeah, and I think your jump, your the speed of your jump is a lot better. I mean, a lot of your rebounds are, I don't know, it's not like you're right down, but you know, banging, you know, like a post player. You just kind of come out of nowhere and you can get rebounds and your jumping ability and all that. But, you know, good news for both of you, Nayland and Derek, you still got more time left. Sean, sorry, buddy, but you got to keep going. But, guys, I know you got dinner, girlfriends, homework.
Play practice.
Play practice, that's right.
And then we got to go.
That's right. You guys are now, Derek and Sean, you're both in play.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know last year was your first year. Have you ever done this, Derek?
No, this is my first year, actually.
Just something to do
talk
during spring?
Into it.
Yeah. Kind of see the other side of it.
What, as far as other extracurricular activities or?
Yeah, and like, I mean, watching it. I've always liked watching them, so mm-hmm. I just wanted to see how it was like doing it.
You know? I think it's probably a pretty cool thing because it's kind of like basketball. It starts out as nothing and a kind of a train wreck. And over
you don't know what's going on, and then come showtime, you see everything fold together.
Gels together. Guys, I appreciate your time. Good luck Friday night. And I guess if nothing else, you know, whether you win or lose, it's kind of like you and Yoda. It's win or losing, it's just a matter of, you know, don't go down without a fight. So I'm guessing probably not many people are going to have to give you that pep talk. Guys, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you later, okay?
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you guys. Back of the Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's. McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. We have reached an all-new height in this year's podcast series. These guys have been personally wanting to be on the podcast, however, within the conflicts of their attorneys, agents, and publicity managers, it just took a while to happen. So happy to welcome in the varsity assistant coach of the Vikings, NJ Kite, and our junior varsity head coach, Chad Carpenter. Gentlemen, and I use that term very, very loosely.
Yes. As you should.
How are you doing?
Wonderful.
Good.
Wonderful. It's been a good week.
It's been a good three weeks. This season's been like a good novel. It's been the best of times and been the worst of times.
Yeah.
And I know when I say that, it's, you know, I'm kind of rhetorically saying it to guys that, first and foremost, you know, the work you guys do behind the scenes, the crap you take from Coach Combs behind the scenes, the psychological counseling that you're demanded to do behind the scenes with Coach, there's no way to explain this in the time that we have allotted, but we're going to do our best. How's the season going, NJ? I mean, obviously wins and losses. This team, was this your fifth?
This is my fifth year.
You've been on staff.
This is my fourth.
Fourth.
Yes.
Obviously the wins, the losses, getting this deep in the tournament, that's all good. In terms of the continuity of the group and the team you got, what kind of group what's your guys' opinion of this varsity squad?
It's just a really likable group. I don't know if I've ever coached it. I mean, I've loved players, you know, players and teams that we've had before here and when I've coached at Jackson, but I don't know if I've ever had a team just as with as many likable kids on it as this team has.
Chad, what would you? And I know you're kind of in a weird dynamic because until the regular season's over, for the most part, except on game nights, you're running your own show with the JV squad and getting, you know, that's kind of your main responsibility,
right?
So I know you spend a lot of time with them on the bus, game nights, things like that. But when the season's over, your JV squad, then you become full time, varsity assistant. What's your impression of this year's group?
It's really been great. You know, like NJ said, it's a bunch of likable kids that also happen to be really good at basketball, which makes the season fun. The staff, the continuity. I mean, now this is the second year that we've had the exact same group of people with Nolan coming on last year, and I think he's more comfortable.
Yeah.
We're more comfortable with him now. We're not as afraid of him. We can, you know, we're not as easy on him anymore. So I think we've all settled in, and it's been a really fun season, even away from the wins and losses.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the personal time, just being buddies, things like that, knowing how to talk to somebody. But NJ, and I know now you're still pretty much, you run offense, right?
That's right.
Your primary responsibility. We'll get into the whole nut.
Offense and Combs. Psychological.
Yeah, offense help. And Combs.
But yes.
How many years did it take for you, or months or years or seasons, whatever, to the point that you weren't second-guessing yourself or worried about saying, we're going to run this, we're going to do this set, do that, without feeling like you're worried about Matt looking at you going, what are you talking about? I mean,
midway through the season 2 years ago, he told me, you know, we've got to change some stuff up. I feel like I'm just overwhelmed, and I'm you know, and I'm stretching myself too thin during games. He said, I want you to either start calling offense or defense, whatever you feel more comfortable with. And I said, I feel a lot more comfortable with the offense. And so I've done that now for, like I said, about 2.5 years, 3 years now, I guess, at the end of this one. But it took a while. It took a while to get comfortable, you know, saying, okay, we're running this. And I mean, there's times where I'll say something and Combs will say, you know, I think we should run this instead, and we'll go with that. And we do a good job of working together on that. Now it probably took the rest of that year for me to feel real comfortable. I felt fine with it the next year when I started at the beginning of the year.
I know different coaching staffs that I've been around, or buddies of mine that are on coaching staffs, I don't know. Do you guys roll this way that everybody on the bench during a varsity game has a specific responsibility, i.e. Mm-hmm. offense? You're running
defense.
Defense. Neil might be in charge of how many timeouts, who's in foul trouble.
Right.
Who's is that pretty much everyone has a separate responsibility?
Right. Yes. Now, there might be something specific that Combs says, hey, I want you to, you know, to one of the other guys, they'll say, you know, hey, I want you to look for this certain thing tonight. But for the most part, you know, I do offense, Carp does defense, Neil does a lot with substitutions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Albright does
baseline out of bounds.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because now is Matt still doing these idiotic recipe card things?
No. No, he hadn't done the cards. I forgot about those. He hadn't done the cards in a year or so.
We actually have wristbands under our dress shirts.
Are you joking?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think
we have long sleeves, so you'll never know.
Well, not on some nights when you go in the Combs mode.
Yeah, that's true.
That is a big topic right now, the whole dress thing.
He's upset about it.
Well, it's because you made him wear a tie at senior night, and then the first tournament game, you had to wear a tie that night, and then you won, so now you can't break superstitious nature of any coach, which you're all superstitious, so I'm surprised that there's not a mandated rule that you're all wearing the same underwear to each freaking game that you wore. Again, I don't need to go there. How's Combsy doing?
He's doing all right. It'll get worse. Today's the best day I'll have this week.
Oh, I know. It's all downhill from
there. Yeah.
If you remember last Friday when I went out there to get my tickets. I went out there to get my tickets, and I didn't even realize he switched rooms. And his room's right there in the front office, and I looked through there. And, you know, most of the teachers in the school, I don't know, maybe you guys can wear jeans on payday or some dress down or something.
Right.
Ying Yang sitting over there in a pair of sweats and a T-shirt that looks like it came out of, right out of, like, 1991 with his lanyard and his feet up on the desk, and he's already got his, game face. And you're sitting there. I'm sure, okay, NJ's over there. They're just, you know, NJ's trying to keep him. And he was just being a little bitch.
I try to really like go and talk to Combs two or three times on a game day just to try to loosen
mellow him
up.
Out a little bit.
After the first time I went down, I sent Carp an email and I said I can't go down there anymore. I said that was depressing.
Oh, he was negative and he was complaining, and you know you could have said, hey, I just won the lottery, and he would have been belly aching about it. It wasn't. I mean, and you know, I know that. He is good with the media,
mm-hmm.
and I think he respects the job they got to do. But I do get the impression, especially in these big environments and the big games, that he gets overwhelmed—not overwhelmed, but frustrated with the amount of other stuff outside of the game.
Right, like with Combs, everything that happens in his mind is bad for us. So, like he's always talking about like for example, senior night. He's like, senior night, I love honoring our seniors, but senior night's always such a distraction.
Yeah.
You know, our heads are just in a million different places. But then if you go play somebody on their senior night, he's like, you know, they're going to be fired up and ready to play. It's their senior night.
Me doesn't see both sides of the equation.
No, both sides are against us. You know, I mean, it's just, he doesn't.
And you two both kind of have very similar personalities. You both got very dry sense of humors and all that. Well, while we got him in here, Carp, you're kind of like third man on the totem pole.
I like to think of myself as the realist. Combs obviously would be the pessimist of the group.
Right.
And I think we could agree NJ's probably the optimist, you know.
And you're kind of the one in the middle saying this.
I like to think of myself as the realist.
I feel like I have to be so optimistic, though, because Combs is so pessimistic. I feel like, you know, we need we've got to have some sort of mix. Yeah. I mean, there's times where I'll say something positive that I don't even really believe. Just because, like, you know, we need to hear something positive.
Yeah. And he's that way. I mean, I think even you would both attest, even take that to a quote-unquote recreational sport like golf.
Sure.
He's not getting compensated. The guy ain't going on the PGA Tour. And I don't know how many times, and he has to set goals. He can't just go out and enjoy something.
No.
I'm going to shoot 76 today. He could shoot 74 and he'll bitch for 4 hours around the golf course.
Should have been a 72.
I could have. Man, if I would have made that putt back there on 14, if I wouldn't have three-putted on 15, I could have shot a 71. But you made your... Well, that doesn't, you know, and it's just like, how can you... But I guess that just shows the competitive nature.
Yeah.
Now, the other night, first play of the game, I teased him about this on Saturday, first play of the game when we're playing Unioto.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jordan Albright missed it was a deep three.
Right.
And... you know, it was still a good look.
Oh, no, yeah.
We had forced three straight turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
And after Jordan misses the shot, Combs walks by. That's just great. Here we go again.
How many times?
Now, at the time, we're 0 for 1.
and
it's tied.
With three turnovers.
Yeah.
Undisputably, probably the highest ranked in popular opinion, the highest ranked D2 team in Southeast Ohio.
Right.
You miss a shot, but you've already created three turnovers, and here we go again.
Yeah. Now, in fairness to him, it didn't get much better in the first half.
No, but I mean, I've heard several stories, and I can't. What was the second half of a, you know, I forget what game. I think his new term's here we go again.
Oh yeah, yes. Against Megs, we're up. I was just going to tell that story. Against Megs, we're up 30. Megs hits a 3 and a 2 on back to back trips, and he turns it to cut it to 25. You know, with and midway through the third quarter, you know, game we're playing really well. They hit two straight shots. He turns around, looks at me, and says, "Here we go again. Here comes the run."
How do you hold it together? I'm thin skinned a little bit from the standpoint of there's going to come a time, and I understand you're in front of everybody, you're in front of the kids. It's the heat of the moment that you just don't want to look at him and say, "What? Will you just shut up?" I mean, just put things. I mean, do you just condition yourself to not?
Well, last season, it was late in the season. I can't remember who we were playing. I believe we had somewhere around an 18-point lead with somewhere around a minute and a half left.
The game's over.
Everybody, you know, all the starters are out. Right. You know, we got all the subs in. And he looks over at us and says, "How many timeouts do I have?" And typically I just kind of overlook his negativity. You know, we just
Before Karp even got his comment in, I told him how many timeouts he had. I said, "We have three timeouts."
And then I paused. Followed it up with, "Why?"
And?
"Because I might need to call a timeout if this thing gets close."
Minute and a half?
What if they score two straight buckets right here? What now we'll have to take timeout.
At worst, that would cut the lead with two threes down 12. To 12.
Yes.
And chew up at least 25 seconds.
Yes.
It's amazing. Does it get any easier with him?
No.
No,
it doesn't. He's getting more used to it, I guess. I don't think it gets any easier. He hasn't. His negativity hasn't changed.
Yeah. We love him, though.
He's not as demonstrative now, I think, on the floor.
No, he's not. He does not. Sorry. Forgot to mute the old phone.
No, he has. I mean, he has calmed down considerably.
Mm-hmm.
But the just general goofiness of the things he'll say on the bench haven't changed.
Now, when I was reading Jason Arkley's article in the Athens Messenger, and he and I, this is the thing, I know he rarely listens to the podcast. He likes to patronize me and make me think I'm special and tell me he doesn't listen. But I know he's going to listen to this. Because you guys are, he knows why you're here.
Right.
I mean, we've had this conversation. We first talked, gosh, back first of January, some middle of January. You're like, "We need to be on." I'm like, "Okay." So, you know, we knew this was going to happen. But in terms of his pep talks, and back to that point, when I was reading Jason Arkley's Messenger article, and Matt had some comment that at the half he had told the kids, "Listen, I can handle losing, winning or losing, but we just need to go out there and, you know, play our game and let it loose or let it go." To that point, and it goes back to one of his infamous motivational speeches, which is not Coach Combs's strong suit.
No.
Unbeknownst to all Viking listeners out there, you guys explain it. He's just not.
When he gets excited about something and starts talking, he will, without trying, say some of the funniest and goofiest things. He doesn't think they're funny. He thinks he's motivating. But it's an ongoing thing now to where when he says something like that, kids will just look at me looking for some sort of response.
And that's usually when you walk out of the locker room.
I've gotten a lot better at just kind of like shaking my head or, you know, doing something like that to where I don't have to leave. But yeah, I mean, this year he's had things like, "We're going to go out there and uncage the dogs." That was something that he thought was really motivational that the kids got a good chuckle out of later.
Uncage the dogs.
I compare it to like a 1980s wrestler when they're talking to Mean Gene Okerlund.
Oh yeah, like
you know, battle. What you gonna do when you know? And follows it up with something like that.
That might be another alternative career for Coach Gumbs. And then I'd be a pro wrestler.
My only first move was to look at Nalen Yates, because Nalen has a habit of sticking his jersey in his mouth as soon as that happens. And then when that happens, I'll bail out of the huddle. I'll bail out of whatever we're in.
You know, to your same point, he's also, and you might know some of this, but he's also good at coming up with, maybe I'm going someplace I shouldn't go, but I'm going to go there anywhere. Making up his own terminology and profanity when he gets mad, not only on the motivational level,
yes.
And I'm speaking on the level of golf.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, where did that come from?
Yeah,
I'm not going to take it any further. No, you know what I'm saying.
No, yeah. I mean, he's got some issues, some mental issues. Some of the stuff he says, he's got to have some problems.
He had the scorekeepers at Michigan camp. They covered their mouth up laughing at him at halftime of one of our games at team camp this past season.
Yeah, because you don't have a locker room. You just kind of go down to the corner of the gym and have your own.
He was explaining. We were missing some free throws, and he was explaining about what that was doing to our chances of winning games. And, you know, whatever
he threw out a colorful comparison as to what the free throws were doing to us.
And as soon as he said it, I look over.
The whole score.
NJ looks away. Nalen's got his jersey in his mouth. And then I completely leave the huddle. But they can see my back. My shoulders are going up and down. And, you know, Matt finally says, you know, get it out of your system. And he just sends the guys to go get a drink. And, you know, I tell him, I said, I can't get this out of my system. I'm laughing. The guys at the scorer's table are laughing. These college basketball athletes, I mean, they're laughing. NJ's laughing. I mean, anybody that was involved in that.
I can't. I'm under the same thing. There's a couple dozen I could give. But myself, Coach Combs, Jeff Miller, and J.J. Hill are playing golf course up at the Ville. And Combs being, you know, you've been on that trip. You
sure.
Play golf 100 holes in 3 days.
Right.
You're going to have some bad stretches. Matt had dictated to all of us at lunch that noon, he was going to bring the South course to his knees. Its knees. I'm going low, boys, is what he said. He made a couple bogeys, and then on like the seventh hole on a par three, he hits the ball into a bunker, and he's short-sighted himself, and he's taken all the time in the world. Now, as a side note, Jeff Miller could go 5 years, never look at a golf ball, and go out and shoot nothing.
Oh,
it's just the way Jeff plays.
Yeah.
Matt works hard at his game. Matt hits the ball out of the bunker, and it hits the lip of the bunker, comes back into the bunker. So we know he's stewing. We're all just kind of waiting patiently. And at that point in time, he gets over the ball. He finally hits it. And then he thins it. And the ball goes flying across the green. And everyone knew it was coming. You just didn't know what he was going to say. I'm not going to say, but he let off a line of expletives that was absolutely, genuinely demented and twisted and made no rational sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
And all of us trying to hold it together, except for his childhood buddy, Jeff Miller, who could care less. And Jeff just looks at me and JJ and goes, At which time, JJ is raking a bunker that no one had even played out of, just trying to get out of the situation. I lose it. And you know, I'm thinking, I don't want to make Matt mad. He's already, but he did it to himself. And boy, that's the way he is.
There's times you just have to let him, and I've learned over the years, there's times you just have to let him get stuff out of his system.
Yeah,
I mean he told me, you know, we had a practice one day, wasn't a very good practice, and one of our best players had just had a terrible practice, and he looked at me, he was mad when we went into the coach's office, and he said, you know what, I'm not sure that we're not a better team without, and said this kid's name, and I'm thinking, if we didn't have that kid, we would lose just about every game, and. We laugh about it now, but yeah, you just got to let him go sometimes.
Yeah, but to your point, he's in a way he's settled down, but he still has the ability, especially at this time of the season when you got this amount of pressure, to revert back to the little inner kid that he is.
He's had a meltdown in all three games. So yeah. I hope he has another one this Friday.
Well, if he listens to this, he'll realize he has to, because his superstitious of, you know,
he's constantly telling me how he's not superstitious.
He is the most superstitious person in the world.
He's like, "You're superstitious." I'm not. I'll at least admit it. I wear the same socks every game. I've worn the same socks every game, dress socks every game for 4 years now.
He drives every game. We ride together. He drives on game day.
Yeah.
I drove to the Logan game.
That was our first loss.
Well, there you go.
I take responsibility.
We'd still be undefeated right now.
See, it's your fault.
I know. And I'm willing to accept that.
Yeah. You haven't been ejected lately, have you?
Not in 2016.
Well, I can't say that.
You cannot.
No, I can't.
Well timed, too.
Yeah. Not one of my better nights. Not one of that referee's better nights.
I caught him on a bad night, too. Same crew.
Was it?
Yes. Different not guy. The same official, but same crew.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Man. I hope they come back next year, because I'm going to be so nice, it's going to make him sick.
I told him when he said, "We got to come to MacArthur in 2 weeks." This was the night that I got ejected. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, don't worry." I said, "They'll love you. You know, they've got a long memory." I said, "They'll remember you as soon as you walk in. It'll be nice."
If I could have gotten and continue to get a $5 donation for every time someone comes up to me since I made my early exit, and you can attest to this because I called you the day after and I wasn't even at the game.
Yeah, and you probably weren't the first person that called.
No, I'm sure, and I wasn't the last.
No.
But every time I the senior night, from the time I got out of my truck, walked to the front door, showed my pass, and went to my seat, I had seven people ask me, just walking down the hall, "You going to get ejected tonight? What happened the other night?"
Mm-hmm. Oh, I joked with Karp that he could have run for mayor after he got ejected from that game. That was a gain in popularity.
I was Mr. Anonymous on the staff for a long time. And then yeah,
everyone
happened.
Knows you.
Yeah. And now, then the downside to my night, the night I got ejected, is I had a longer walk of shame than you did. I mean, you're on that end of the floor.
Oh, I got right out of there.
I had to go, you know, by the scorer's table, shake hands with the opposing coach, tell the kids good job from Southeastern, then down the long hallway, past our varsity kids.
The thing that got me is I really wanted to watch the varsity game, and after talking to some administrators, and I found a place to hide, the coach's office, and your coach, Matt, comes in while the varsity's out there warming up, and I was embarrassed, felt horrible, didn't want to be a distraction, and he goes back to the bathroom in the coach's office, and I'm thinking he's back there going to the bathroom, and all of a sudden, and you guys know this sound very well, I'm like, "What? You got ejected." He's like, "I won't rag on you so bad, but it's right before the game and I think I'm gonna puke." And then he throws me a shirt and says, just let everyone leave. You can go out and watch the second half. So
who did we play that night?
Athens.
Oh, okay.
It was a bad night.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. It was just a train wreck. But anyhow, guys, I got to get you out of here. Make sure that our security detail outside the studio is waiting on you to escort you to your cars.
I feel a lot safer that way.
Yeah. Appreciate you guys dropping by.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, anytime. It's a lot more funner than your boss there. Some days he's good. Some days he's bad. But we know, I think all three of us agree, that as of Monday night, from here until Friday at 7 o'clock, it's all downhill.
Yeah, this is the best day. If you want to talk to him, come in tomorrow.
Morning, preferably.
Yes, early.
From Thursday on, just stay away from him. Any Viking booster, fan, news media, whatever your title is.
Autograph seeker.
Yeah.
Combs we trust.
In Combs we trust. Well, it's been a winner. That is right. That is exactly that. That is the ultimate positioning statement for him. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. Guys, appreciate your time. We will talk to you hopefully next season or here in the upcoming episodes. And in the meantime, we'll probably see you on the golf course this summer, okay?
Sounds good.
For Coach NJ Kite, for Coach Chad Carpenter, I'm Carl Knox saying thanks for listening to the Viking Roundwell Podcast.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Roundwell Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Roundwell Podcast.